with God's holy word open before us, let us unite our hearts now in prayer. Let us pray over the word. Pray that today we'll hear the voice of our beloved. Most gracious and loving Father, we do bless Thee that we're found in Thy presence in the house of the Lord. And now, Lord, we come to Thy Word. We have offered to Thee, Lord, our prayers and our praise. Now, Lord, we wait to hear Thy voice. Pray, Lord, that Thou will give us the listening ear. Give us, Lord, the heart that is open and ready to receive Thy truth. Once again, dear Lord, give us the eyes to see. To see the One who is altogether lovely. And the One who is the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Shut us now, Lord, in with Thyself. Grant us the power of the Holy Ghost. That we might be able, Lord, to preach Thy Word. And in preaching the Word, we might exalt Christ. We ask all these things in the Lord's name. And always for His honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Revelation chapter 14. And I would like us, with the Lord's help this morning, to consider the words of verse 1. Revelation 14 and verse 1. John says, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads." When we come to the book of the Revelation, and we endeavor to study this last book of the Bible, we ought always to remember that it is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can see that from the first verse of the first chapter. It's not the revelation of John the Divine, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And while in exile in the Isle of Patmos, John was given many revelations of Jesus Christ. And that's what he has recorded in the last book. He has recorded his revelations of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lamb. When John refers to Christ, he always refers to Him as the Lamb. He begins in Revelation 5 and verses 4 to 6. Speaking about His weeping over the Lamb. There was there the book of the seven seals. No one was found worthy to open that book. Search was made of heaven. Search was made of earth. Search was made under the earth. No one was found worthy to open the book of the seven seals. And John wept. And then also in chapter 5, you have the worthiness of the Lamb. For an angel, an elder showed John one who was worthy to open the Lamb. And in John 5, verses 8 and 9, John turned and he saw a Lamb. A Lamb as it had been slain. And that Lamb was standing. And that Lamb was the only one found worthy to open the book. So you have John's weeping over the Lamb, and you have John recording the worthiness of the Lamb. And then in chapter 6, he's given another revelation of the Lamb. There in chapter 6 and verse 16, he's given a revelation of the wrath of the Lamb. Not many people today believe in the wrath of the Lamb. They can't believe that the Lamb who spoke on, delivered the Beatitudes on the Mount that day could ever be described as the Lamb with wrath. Oh, but it's the same Lamb. The Lamb who pronounced the Beatitudes is the same Lamb who will sit upon a great white throne and will pour out His wrath upon all who know Him not. What a revelation John was given. The wrath of the Lamb. Terrible revelation. It'll be a terrible day. Then in chapter 7, he's given another revelation of the Lamb. Verses 9 to 12, given a revelation there of the worship of the Lamb. How the Lamb is worshipped in heaven. Good to read over those verses. Good to read the book of the Revelation. And see how the Lamb is worshipped in heaven. That's how we ought to worship Him on earth. That's the Lord's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a revelation that was. The Lamb being worshipped by all the hosts of heaven. Will you be there? Wonder how many in this gathering this morning will be there worshiping the Lamb in glory. I'll be there. Will you be there? Then John's given another revelation in chapter 12, verse 11. He's given a revelation of the wounds of the Lamb. For there John speaks about the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from those wounds when He was nailed to that cross on Mount Calvary. Victorious blood, all-conquering blood. How will we overcome the powers of evil? Why will we overcome the powers of evil? Why? By the blood of the Lamb. What a revelation that was. Now we come to another revelation here in chapter 14, verse 1. John has given a revelation of the wonder of the Lamb. And I looked, lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. Here's the wonder of the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, for all to see. He's lifted up, He's exalted, He's magnified, He's glorified, standing on Mount Zion, and all in glory look up to Him. And they're filled with wonder as they see the wonder of the Lamb. I trust we'll see the wonder of the Lamb today. For what we have here, first of all, is the revelation of the Lamb. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb. There's His revelation. Here John has given another view of the wonderful Lamb of God. And what we have here, first of all, is the prominence of the Lamb. Look at the prominence of the Lamb. John tells us that when he looked into heaven, he saw a great assembly of saints, 144,000. He tells us also that he heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. We're told in verse 3 that he saw four beasts. And he saw 24 elders. 144,000. Four beasts, 24 elders, and the harpers harping on their harps. There was much to take up John's attention when he looked in through this door in heaven. But who did he see first of all? He saw the Lamb. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb. He saw the Lamb, first of all. A Lamb standing on Mount Zion. I'm sure, dear child of God, you have from time to time thought about what will it be like when you enter heaven. What will it be like when we breathe our last? And our heart beats for the last time. And we enter into heaven. What will it be like? Yes, we'll see the pearly gates. The walls studded with diamonds. We'll see that sea of glass. See the streets of pure gold. And we'll see those who have gone before. It will be a wonderful sight. But who will our eyes focus on first of all? We'll see the Lamb. So John saw first of all. I looked, and lo, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Oh, what a view! What a sight! What a wonder for the saints of God to see the Lamb standing there on Mount Zion. We'll see the Savior, first of all. Samuel Rutherford said, heaven and Christ are the same things. To be with Christ is to be in heaven. And to be in heaven is to be with Christ. And one day when he was all wrapped up in the love of Jesus Christ, he wrote these words, O my Lord Christ, If I could be in heaven without thee, it would be a hell. And if I could be in hell and have thee still, it would be a heaven to me. For thou art all the heaven I want. Thou art all the heaven I want. And Anne Ross Cousins summed it up well. She wrote that hymn we sung this morning based on the final words of Rutherford. Rutherford's last words that he breathed out on his deathbed were, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." And what did Anne Ross Cousins write? "The bride dies not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace. Not on the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. For the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." John saw first the Lamb. And when we get to heaven, we'll see first the Lamb. Through the gates of the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears shall ever fall. In the glad song of angels, I shall mingle with delight, but I long to see my Savior. First of all, he first saw the Lamb. You look again at those words in chapter 14 and verse 1, you'll see that he was focused on the Lamb. Notice the words. "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb." Now, whenever you go to the original, they may be translated another way. The words may be rendered as follows: "And I saw and behold the Lamb." John says, "And I saw and behold the Lamb." He had first focused his eyes on Christ. When he heard John the Baptist preach one day, what did John say then? "Behold the Lamb of God, it taketh away the sin of the world." And that's when John became one of the Savior's disciples. He first beheld the Lamb. Now his race is almost run. His day is almost spent. He's an exile on the Isle of Patmos. And where has he got his focus? Why? He's still focused on the Lamb. Still focused on the Lamb. What a way to live. What a blessed way to live. Every day with your eyes focused on the Lamb. My friend, this morning, has any one of us here taken our focus off the Lamb? Tell me. Have you focused on something else? Are you giving your time and your talents to something else? John began focusing on the Lamb. John finished his life with his focus on the Lamb. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. Then we notice here the preeminence of the Lamb. Let us again look at those words. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion. How may they be rendered? You recall, they also may be rendered, and I saw, and behold, the Lamb. He's the preeminence of the Lamb. You see, in the original, it's not a Lamb. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb. No. In the original, it is the definite article, it is the Lamb. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb. Or I saw, and behold, the Lamb. This tells us that Christ is the special Lamb, because He's the Lamb. Not just any Lamb. Throughout Old Testament history, thousands upon tens of thousands of lambs were slain and offered up sacrifices to God. And the blood from those lambs could never take away sin. But they only pointed forward to that great sacrifice that would take place on Calvary, where the Lamb would be offered up. What does that make the Lord Jesus? That makes Him the Lamb. It makes Him the special Lamb. There's no Lamb like Christ. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. That makes them the Lamb. That makes them the special Lamb. Tens upon tens of thousands of lambs were slain. Rivers of blood flowed. And that blood could never wash away sin. But when the Lamb was slain, the Lamb and His blood washed away all our sins. That makes Him special. Notice something else, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb, or the Lamb, stood on Mount Zion. Not only is Christ the special Lamb, Christ is the standing Lamb. John sees Christ standing. Now back in chapter 5 and verse 6, that elder showed John the Lamb as it had been slain. Standing. Think of that. It's the Lamb that had been slain. But what is He doing now? He's standing. What does that speak to us of? Why, it speaks to us of victory. He was the slain Lamb. There on Calvary, He gave up the ghost. He died. Was buried. But the third day, He rose again. And He's now standing on Mount Zion. That speaks to us of victory. For He has conquered death. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered hell. He's conquered the devil. He's the victorious Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Oh, and when John looked into heaven, he didn't see a corpse lying in a sepulchre. He saw a Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And dear child of God, that's why death and the grave should hold no terrors for us. Because Christ has simply gone before. He has slain the dragon, death. Our trust is in a victorious Savior. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Because Christ has gotten us the victory. Praise the Lord. Notice something else. Christ the sovereign Lamb. The Lamb, John says, was standing on Mount Zion. You know, this had been prophesied by the psalmist. In Psalm 2, verse 6, yet have I set my king. There's the Father speaking about his Son. And the Father calls his Son the king. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And the Lord Jesus came from heaven as our Redeemer. And He came to this earth. And He stood on the earthly Mount Zion. Isaiah 59 verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Yes, He stood on the earthly Mount Zion. But how does John see Him now? John sees Him on heaven's Mount Zion. He's standing there as the sovereign. He's the king. He's the king. He's the king. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And believer, that's how we'll see Him one day. Standing, the slain Lamb. Oh, we'll see the nail prints. Reminding us He's the slain Lamb, but we'll see Him standing. He's the victorious Lamb. And we'll see Him standing on Mount Zion. He's the sovereign Lamb. He's the King. Kings, Lord of lords. There on earth, on the earthly Mount Zion, He was lifted up to die. But in heaven's Mount Zion, He's standing up as the one who was dead, but is alive, and He's alive. The prominence of the Lamb, the preeminence of the Lamb, and the possession of the Lamb. For the verse 1 says again, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. Here's the possession of the Lamb. 144,000. Notice something about this assembly of people. Having His Father's name written in their foreheads. Now once again, those words may be rendered a little differently. Those words may also be translated His name and the name of his father written in their foreheads. His name, the name of the Lamb, and the name of the Father written in their foreheads. In other words, the names of both Christ and the Father are written in the foreheads of the 144,000. What does that tell us? Why, it tells us the Lord has put His name on us. We belong to Him for His possession. He's bought us with His own blood, paid the price. Now He has our names inscribed on our foreheads. We belong to Him. Those who follow the Antichrist will have the name of Antichrist on their foreheads. But on our foreheads will be the name of the Son and the name of the Father. John's revelation of the Lamb, and then you have the redeemed with the Lamb. 144,000. Who are they? 144,000. Lots of books have been written about 144,000. Who they are. Well, I believe the answer is found there in verse 4. Nothing complicated about it. Verse 4, these are they. Regarding the 144,000. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits. That's who they are. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In other words, the 144,000 are a representative body of all the redeemed in heaven. Because in the time of the Feast of First Fruits, the farmer would go out and he would gather some corn in and some wheat in from another field, and just a sample, as it were. And he'd bring them before the Lord and worship the Lord and give thanks to God for His harvest. But what he had gathered would just be a representation of all the rest of the harvest. 144,000 just simply represents all the redeemed of heaven. That's all. What do we notice about them? First of all, that they're purchased. Only those who have been redeemed are redeemed. Or, as the word means, purchased, will be in heaven. And it's a good time now for us to ask ourselves the question. My friend, it's a good time for you to ask yourselves the question, are you redeemed? I'm not asking if you're a churchgoer, are you redeemed? I'm not interested in how good of a neighbor you are. I'm asking you, have you been redeemed? Because if you're not redeemed, you'll not be in heaven. I can say that on the authority of this book. You'll not be in heaven. Here we have it. Those that stood there with the Lamb in heaven were redeemed. Verse 3. Purchased. I wonder what the JWs would say about this. I wonder what the Jehovah Witnesses would have to say about this. But you see, whenever you talk to a Jehovah Witness, or more likely they'll talk to you. They'll say that the 144,000 are made up of Jehovah Witnesses. Oh, and you have to do this and do that and do the other thing and do a million and one things just to have a hope of being numbered with the 144,000. Well, I'm sorry to have to disillusion them. The 144,000 are not Jehovah Witnesses. The 144,000 have been redeemed. Been redeemed. And Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in redemption by the blood. It's all works. It's a religion of works. Well, I read here that the 144,000 were there with the Lamb, which were redeemed from the earth. That nails another lie, doesn't it? And many of these false cults and false teachers tell us, oh, there'll be another chance after death. No, sorry. But no chance after death. Getting right with God. What did John say? Verse 3, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. If you're not redeemed while you're on the earth, you'll not be redeemed in eternity. Need to be redeemed on the earth. Have you been redeemed? If you're not redeemed, you haven't been purchased by the blood of Christ, I'm afraid I'll not see you in heaven. I'll not see you there. Need to be redeemed. Wonder what the poor, blinded Roman Catholic would say about this. For the priest will tell them, oh, you need to pay. Get your friend, get your relatives out of purgatory. Need to pay to get them out of purgatory and into heaven. Well, I don't read that here. I read that 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. Redeemed, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Not silver and gold. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious, precious, precious blood of Christ. Redeemed. They're purchased. Look at the people. 144,000. You know, if you were to go back to chapter 7, you'd read about 144,000. Now we come to chapter 14, and we read again about 144,000. What happened between chapter 7 and chapter 14? Between chapter 7 and chapter 14, we have the record of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. And before the Great Tribulation, I read of 144,000. And after the Great Tribulation, I still read of 144,000. In other words, not one of them was lost during the Tribulation. Hallelujah. They all made it to heaven. I remember during the Falklands War, listening to the radio, and BBC had their reporters and their correspondents out there, and there was one man called Brian Hanrahan, one of the reporters. And he was reporting on one of the missions that the British were involved in. And they were sending out a certain number of fighter planes. It was all top secret. And Brian Hanrahan told his listening audience that he couldn't give any details of how many planes went out and where they were going, etc., etc. But he says, I can tell you this. He says, I counted them all out. And I counted them all back. In other words, not one of those planes was lost. The number he counted out was the number he counted back. Not one was lost. If you like, John could say, 144,000, I counted them all out. And I counted them all back. Not one was lost. And dear child of God, we may go through 1,000 tribulations. We may go through what seems at times 10,000 tribulations. But not one of us are the lost. We'll all be in heaven. There'll not be one empty seat in glory. Every one of Christ's own will be there. Praise the Lord. Did the Lord not say that all that the Father gave me, I have lost none. Lost none. You know something? Believer, you and I are as sure of heaven as if we were already there. I know no safer stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Look again. Verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. With him. Mark the words. And with him. With the lamb. This representative body of 144,000. Where are they? They're with him. The redeemed are with him. My, isn't that what keeps us going sometimes? Isn't it? Isn't that what keeps us going sometimes when we're down in the valley and the night is dark and everything seems to be against us? Well, we can have. Rejoice in this hope. One day I'm going to be with him. At least I have that to look forward to. I'm going to be with him. Philippians 1 verse 23, and I, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And when the dying thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, what did the blessed Savior say? Jesus answered and said unto him, today shalt thou be with me. Better than that. That's what the Lord Jesus prayed for. In his high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That would melt your heart. Why would Christ want someone like you or me to be with him for all eternity? But he does. That prayer will be answered.
for every redeemed, every redeemed. The Lord said, whom thou hast given me, be with me. That prayer will be answered. What was it Rutherford said? Heaven and Christ are the same things. To be with Christ is to be in heaven, and to be in heaven is to be with Christ. James Montgomery puts it very well in his beautiful hymn, "So when my latest breath shall rend the veil in twain, by death I shall escape from death and life eternal gain. That resurrection word, that shout of victory, once more, forever, with the Lord." Amen. So let it be. So let it be. We're going to be with him one day. And finally, and very briefly, you have the rejoicing in the Lamb. For we're told in verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." There's a rejoicing. John has told us what he saw. Now he reveals to us what he heard. He heard the 144,000 representative of all the redeemed in heaven. He heard them singing. Notice one, they were led to sing. What was it led the redeemed in heaven to sing? One, the Savior. Upon seeing the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, the redeemed and the players of the harps burst into song. And believer, when we see the Lamb, when we see the Lamb, why we'll sing His praises forever. Didn't we start singing the day God saved us? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and have put a new song, there it is, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. It was when they saw the Savior standing in Mount Zion, they began to sing. You know, believer, when we come up to the house of God, it should be our prayer, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Because when we see Christ in our worship, it will gladden our hearts. And my, when the minister comes to announce the psalms and the hymns, we'll not be able to wait to get singing. Remember the disciples in the upper room, the doors being shut for fear of the Jews, and the Savior appeared in their midst, and we read, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Make it your prayer every time you come to worship. Let me see Jesus. They were led to sing. And you'll notice there, not only the Savior led them to sing, but notice the sound that says, "Sound like many waters." Maybe we have the idea that when we get to heaven, we'll all be walking about talking to one another in whispers. No siree. In fact, over and over again, John heard the angel speak with a loud voice.
And whenever the redeemed start to sing, it'll be like the sound of many waters. You've stood beside Niagara. You've heard the roar of a Niagara. I tell you, multiply that 1,000 times. And that's what heaven will sound like. That's what heaven will sound like. And the sound of many thunders. That's how we'll sing when we look upon the Lamb. Let us look for the Lamb in our worship. And when we see Him, we also will be compelled to sing aloud. There's the sweetness, because there was the harpers there. And then they had to learn the song. Isn't that what it says? And they sung, as it were, a new song before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. No man could learn that song but the redeemed. What does that mean? The word learn means understand. No man could understand that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That's how it is, isn't it? We sang this morning, what's this wonderful hymn? I don't believe there's a hymn in the hymn book touches my heart so powerfully as that hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. My riches gain I count but loss, poor contempt and all his pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, that e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. The unregenerate may sing that hymn and sing those words, but they don't understand. It's only the redeemed understand what dear old Watts was writing about. And only the redeemed understand the words of Bonner. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You can only understand those words if you've been redeemed. Only know what they mean if you know Christ. And only the redeemed in heaven could sing that. All the angels couldn't sing it because they didn't know what it meant. But we know, don't we? And they had liberty in song. For we're told that they sang before the throne. They sang before the angels. They sang before the four beasts. They sang before the 24 elders. They had liberty to sing. They sang to everybody. You know, believer, when you get a glimpse of Christ, you'll want to sing. You'll want to sing to everybody. Doesn't matter if you're out of tune or whatever, you'll still want to sing. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving God, we thank Thee today for the Lamb.
And dear Lord Jesus, we would tell Thee today again that we love Thee. Oh, how we love Thee. And yet we realize that our love could never reach the height or the depth or the breadth of Thy love for us. Nevertheless, Lord, help us to love Thee more. And, O Lord, we think of any in the gathering today, and if they were to die as they are, they wouldn't be in heaven. They wouldn't be in that redeemed throng of believers. Lord, save them today. May they be redeemed today and enter into the rest that Christ offers. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Keep us, Lord, much in prayer. Return us to the service tonight. And may we again see Jesus. Oh, may we see Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever till the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.